verse 24 of the 23rd chapter of Luke. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Everyone reading. And he released them unto them, him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and in him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, and a woman which also bewailed and lamented him. And Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never give suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Ending our lesson at verse 35. And God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his own most precious word. Into the intensive history of Christ's crucifixion, there steps a figure. He enters the scripture without introduction, without warning, and with very great speed. He leaves it with the same speed in which he entered it. But in a few seconds, we learn much of this man who intrudes himself into the darkest scene in all history, the death of the Creator at the hands of his creatures. Mark in chapter 15, verse 21 says, And they compel one Simon the Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Matthew tells us in chapter 27, verse 32, And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Look in chapter 23 and in verse 26 says, and as they led him, that is Christ, away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. In those brief, short 3 verses, the whole story is told. Luke tells us they led Christ away. Mark tells us they led him out to crucify him. Matthew records as they came out. Note carefully the path to the crucifixion. The judgment hall where Christ had been tormented, where he had been thrashed with the cruel whip, where he had been tortured and crowned with thorns, is now all left behind. If this was the first, what will the last be like? If this is the commencement to Christ's great suffering, what will the zenith of the torments that he must endure be like? There is blood all over him now. His head, his cheeks, his neck and shoulders. His back has been plowed and many streams of blood gush forth. If this is the start, what a flood must flow to fill that fountain which Zechariah told us was opened in the house of David for sin and for all uncleanness. Calvary is going to become the seat of the wounds of blood which Jesus Christ must suffer. Behold Christ led away to the gallows trees of the cross on the hill of the skull called Golgotha. Just after the soldiers leave Pilate's judgment hall, they break ranks to run after a man that is running away from this dread scene. When they overtake that man with all the force which the savage men of Caesar's army could use, they roughly and cruelly hold him back to the center scene on this platform which depicts the start of the road to the cross. We are told they laid hold upon him. Why did this man run away? He was foreordained to do a job which never by his own will would he have chosen for himself to do? As I sat down this week and pondered these scriptures and read them over and over again, I asked myself, why did he run away? I believe that the answer is this, that this man did not want to have any part or lot in the hideous death, the crucifying of Jesus of Nazareth. You ask me the question, how did he know the prisoner who was going to be crucified? There may be many answers to that question, but there is the most simple one. He had read the inscription written by Pilate that was to be nailed to the cross. It must have been prominent, that inscription. It must have been seen by all as a soldier carried it in order that it should be nailed to the tree. This man, Simon, must have known who Jesus was. One could not live or visit Palestine in the time of Christ had not have heard of Jesus, the wonder-working Savior. This one who raised the dead. This one who healed the lepers. This one who made the lame to walk, and the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. What was this man doing? Why does the scripture underline these few words? He was coming out of the country. What country? He was coming out of the country of Cyrene. Where is Cyrene? It is in the north of Africa. This man had come a long way. Why was he in Jerusalem? Because this man was a proselyte. He had been converted to the Jewish faith. And the Jewish faith demanded that those that professed it must appear, the nails must appear at Jerusalem's temple at the time of the Passover. This man was seeking to make it in time, and he arrived coming out of his own country in time. But the overruling purpose of God was not that he should be in time for the Passover, but he should be in time to carry the cross of Christ. God makes no mistake, but the Holy Spirit writes he was coming out of the country. Who was he? His name was Simon. What was his country? Cyrene. Where did he journey? He journeyed to Jerusalem. Why did he seek to escape from the soldiers? Because he did not want to have any part or lot in the crucifixion of Christ. What was he made to do? He was compelled to carry Christ's cross. What was the outcome? He carried it to Calvary. But what, notice, does the Scriptures give us further about this man? Let's look first at his name. His name was Simon. Simon is a contraction of the Hebrew name Simeon. And Simeon means to hear. Simon was a man who had heard. He was a black man. He wasn't a Jew by birth. He was a Jew by conversion. If you take the New Testament this afternoon and go down the New Testament, you'll find there are 8 Simons in the New Testament. Some were good, some were bad. Some were saints, and some were sinners. But here we have Simon of Cyrene. Simon not of Palestine, but Simon of Cyrene. That brings me to my second thought, his nation. His name was Simon. His nation, he was a Cyrenian. Cyrene is today on the map of Africa called Tunis. Simon was an African. He was a black man. No Jew would carry the cross, but if he had done that, he would have been made impure, and he could not partake of the holy Passover feast. No Roman would carry the cross, because to a Roman, the cross was a thing of shame. It was a death gallows of offense. The Cyrenian was no doubt a proselyte, an African like the Ethiopian eunuch who had been converted to Judaism. He was undoubtedly a black man. He probably had traveled back to Jerusalem for the special Passover religious services. Let us note not only his name and his nationality, but let us note his necessity. Why is he, just at this time, in Jerusalem? The text, as I have already mentioned, hints that he was coming out of the country, his home country of Cyrene. And it writes in these words, as he passed by, he was a passer-by. Go back to the book of Lamentations and hear the cry of the victim of the cross. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? That day, Simon had to answer that question. Cyrene was a Greek city, but it contained many Jews. On the day of Pentecost, there were many converts from Cyrene who heard Peter's Pentecostal sermon. There was a Jewish synagogue in Jerusalem, which was the synagogue of many Cyrenian Jews. Let's come a little farther in this story. Let's look at his nerve. One man, and he decided he would defy all the soldiers. He thought he would escape. What a nerve this man had. One man against this evil crowd. The soldiers laid hold on him. He was treated to all the roughness and all the ruthlessness of the drunken brutes of the army of Caesar. The hands which abused Christ in Pilate's judgment hall and crowned him with thorns and whipped him almost to death are now raised to compel this man, Simon, to come back and take up Christ's cross. Their strength prevailed over Simon. He was brought back. But there's something I want you to notice. That God had a special niche for this man, Simon. From all eternity, God had planned that this man would carry the cross of his son. God has a special niche for us all, every one of us. We don't know why, but we know God has planned it all. The great C.H. Spurgeon, in preaching on this subject, had this to say. John tells us that our Savior went forth bearing his cross. We are very much indebted to John for inserting that fact. The other evangelist mentions Simon the Cyrenian as bearing the cross of Christ. But John, who often fills up gaps which are left by the writers of the other three Gospels, tells us that Jesus set out to Calvary carrying his own cross. Our Lord Jesus came out from Pilate's palace laden with his cross. He was so extremely emaciated and so greatly worn by the night of the bloody sweat that the procession moved too slowly for the rough soldiers of Caesar. And therefore they took the cross and laid it on the shoulders of Simon. Or possibly they laid the long end upon the shoulder of the strong countryman, whilst the Savior still continued to bear in part his cross until he came to his place of doom. It is well we should be told that the Savior bore his own cross for a time. For if it had not been so, we would have had the objectors challenging the honesty of the prophecy concerning Abraham and Isaac. That prophecy said that Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice. Not the servant, not the father, but Isaac himself. A perfect type of what was going to happen in the story of another father, God the Father, and another son, another Isaac, for the sacrifice, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Had not our Lord carried his cross there would have been a serious flaw in the fulfillment of this type. Therefore, the Savior must bear the wound when he goes forth to be offered up for sacrifice. Mr. Spurgeon said, one of the greatest of English preachers has well reminded us that the fulfillment of this type appeared to have been in imminent jeopardy, since at the very first our Lord's weakness must have been apparent. And the reason which led to the laying of the cross upon the Cyrenian shoulders might have prevented our Lord carrying the cross at all. If the soldiers had a little earlier put the cross on Simon, which they might very naturally have done, then the prophecy had not been fulfilled. But God has the minds of men so entirely at his control that even in the minutest circumstance, he orders all things after the counsel of his unbreakable will. Every jot and tittle of the prophecy was fulfilled. Our Lord was made to be in all points and Isaac, and therefore see him going forth bearing the wood of the burnt offering. Thus you see it was important that Jesus should for a while bear his own cross. Here was the nick which Simon was to fill, and though he resisted at the beginning, he soon found great joy in carrying the cross of his Savior. For did not Jesus say, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me? God has a niche for all his people, and that niche is in cross bearing. Shall Simon bear the cross alone, and all the rest go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Let me look for a moment, sickly, at the nobility of Simon. Simon was compelled to bear the cross of Christ so that the multitude could scorn him, and the haters of Christ in Jerusalem that day could make him a target also. What a wonderful scene that was. The black man carrying the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told that we're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our so this man coming after Christ was ever had his eyes upon the one whose cross he was carrying. I am amazed when I come to look at what was said of this man. First of all, his fatherhood is mentioned. He was the father of Alexander and Rufus. These two men are mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. You will find them mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse 13.
And not only were they mentioned, but their mother was mentioned as well. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine, said the great apostle. So this man, Simon, was blessed in himself. His wife and mother of his children were blessed. And his two sons were blessed. Then I turn to Acts chapter 13. And I discover that not only the fact he was a black man is written into the scripture, but also written into the scripture is the fact that he was well known in the great church of Antioch. In fact, he was one of the founders of that church. You'll find that in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. So here is a man coming out of the country, a passerby, a proselyte who traveled all the way to Jerusalem, not to carry Christ's cross, but to be a faithful Jew and attend the Passover supper. Here we find this man had a great history. He became the founder, one of the founders and one of the prophets of the great church at Antioch. His wife became a godly woman, so much so that the Apostle Paul lines this woman up with his own mother and refers to his own mother and her. And not only so, her two sons are mentioned. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, both chosen by Christ. God bless Simon. Why? Because he was a bearer of Christ's cross. Do you want in your life the blessing that Simon had? You can have it if you take up the cross and follow Christ. That is the secret to have a family saved, to have children that are saved, and to have a family that is stamped with the insignia of the love and the blessing and the strength of God. May that be the blessing of every family in this church, for Christ's sake. Amen and amen.